we thank you that Paul, through your Holy Spirit, widened his heart before the Corinthians. He laid bare the truth of what he endured for your sake as an ambassador for you. May we open our hearts wide. May we be transparent before you and before one another. And may we, O Lord, open our hearts wide to receive your truth, your grace, and your power. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you have the Bible on your phone, or if you have the Bibles underneath the pews, would you take them out, please? Or if you brought your Bible with you, even better. Some of you say, oh, I brought my Bible with me. It's going to be a little different because, quite frankly, I haven't been, we went to Chicago for the disciple-making summit, and then I rushed back to not officiate, but be at a wedding, which was really cool, of a daughter of one of our folks that comes regularly, Gary Mash. His daughter Bethany got married yesterday, and then one of my daughters had car trouble last night, and was, so anyways, I'm kind of tired. And I know that you're supposed, I just thought that when I was preparing for Father's Day, I was thinking about preaching on Ephesians, because isn't that the normal Father's Day? I thought, well, I'll just preach on Ephesians. And the Lord told me that we're going to work through 2 Corinthians. I don't know if you noticed that last week. We kind of got started. And so I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? Now, this is a ways back, remember. These are picked at least a month in advance, if not, well, these are writings the church has handed down to us for a long time. But this was me looking at these texts and sending them to Kathy. And I thought what I was going to be speaking on was the last few words of this text. If you have your Bibles and you look at verse 11 through 13, I thought it was going to be on transparency. So I originally thought it was going to be on. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. Now, for a Hebrew Pharisee like Paul to say our heart is wide open, that is like the most amazing way of saying, I'm basically opening myself to you. I'm telling you exactly how I feel, how I think. My heart is wide open is something you don't hear people, especially Hebrew people, say. Do you hear them say that, Chris? Do you hear Hebrew people say that very often? Because to them, you know, in Western culture, we kind of wear our heart on our sleeve sometimes. I don't know if you've noticed this. We wear our heart on our sleeve. In Eastern culture, the heart is much more really the core of our being. And to open wide our heart is to put everything out there and to really, you know, lose our sense of security, because it's really hanging out and it's available for people to stomp on. And so when he says, I've opened my heart wide to you, that's really saying, I am basically I'm surrendering to you. You guys can do whatever you want with me. I'm just going to tell you the truth and you can decide. And he says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. So he's saying, really, and this is what I thought the Lord wanted me to speak on was, you know, be honest with one another. And I thought, I can apply that to Father's Day. Because how many of us, that's why I mentioned the commercial. That was going to be my illustration for the sermon, so I already blew it, because that was going to be my illustration. I didn't even bother taking the transcript that I had downloaded a long time and printing it, because I thought, well, I'm not going to do that. But that's what I thought those commercials were really helpful, because they talk about all the failings, and yet it's really important just to be there. And I thought, okay, that's cool. Because honestly, how many of us as fathers, as grandfathers, fail miserably? Yeah, fail miserably? No? You guys are so good. I don't know. I feel a lot of times like I fail miserably. or miserably, since I'm in the Missouri Synod, but I I know I'm tired, okay. but no, I mean, don't you just sometimes wonder, you know, could I not have figured this out better? I mean, my family spans two generations. Most people, you know, they stop with just one. If you think about it, I mean, my family's, you know, and I just wish I would have learned a lot by now, but I'm German, you know. Takes me a while. But what the Lord put on my heart as I was preparing for this, praying as I was coming back from Chicago yesterday, and we had a great time at the Disciple Making Summit. Wendy's still alive. This is always good. It was a long summit, so Angie made it back. But what he put on my heart was for us to look at the words that he's speaking here. Because I want you to take your Bibles out, because I want you to look back a little bit before we get to this passage. It says, therefore, I'm looking at verse 20 of chapter 5. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And I thought to myself, that is so amazing, because if we understand that, right, if we truly understand that, we know that going into this, whether we're a husband or a father, whatever part of our vocation or our calling we're talking about here, we're doing it through Christ, right? He's our power, he's our strength, because on our own, and this was what we were reminded at the Disciple-Making Summit, the guy who was leading it, Jason, kept saying, on our own, we can do nothing. And everything we do, or we try to do, or we try to, you know, really try hard to do, it really, if it's done on our own without God, it means nothing from an eternal significance. And so that was really important. And then he starts verse 1 of chapter 6. It's working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Not to continue to do what you're always, what you've always done and say, well, now I got a little bit of this grace. But understand that everything we do as a believer is in the strength of God. And even in our sin, we can learn from it, right? We can be forgiven and we can learn from it. And believe me, I learn every day. I learned last night a few things that I didn't really want to learn. And I learn every day. And it's painful, isn't it? How many of you wish when you got out of school that the learning was over? We only just begun. I think if the Lord keeps me here, I was joking yesterday with Gary. I was saying when Gloria goes down the aisle, they're going to have to take me down in a wheelchair. I'll walk her down, but she may be pushing me. But you know, I think we'll still be learning, right? We'll never stop learning. So he says, working together with him, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And what Paul says here is he says, this is the day of salvation. In the past, in the Old Testament, they were talking about something in the future. Here we are in the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the favorable time. Put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. And I want you to just pay attention to the words here, because isn't it interesting when you look at these words, how he starts out with all the stuff that makes us feel like a failure? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Listen to what he says. He says, in every way, by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Now, if I were to tell you, you were to ask me, somebody did that actually last week, because I was talking about how tired I was. They said, why aren't you sleeping? That's a very bad question to ask. But anyways, you know, if you're going through this stuff, you don't really feel like a great success, do you? How many of you, when you've been going through these things that he lists here, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments? I haven't had to deal with two of those, or, you know, not that much anyways. Riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. How many of you feel like great successes when you're going through that? How many of you wonder, God, where are you? Yeah, exactly. Like, where's God in this? Yeah, where's the food? But the funny thing is, Paul always starts with that. It's his expectation that if we're doing what we're supposed to do, Satan and the world, the culture, everything's against us, right? Am I right? Isn't that the way he always says? When he talks about his success in ministry, he always starts with this. Isn't that amazing? Because in his mind, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and if you're walking even in Christ's power, you're going to run up against the world and the culture. And people, you know, Chris prayed for our country and for what happened, you know, South Carolina, in Charleston. I mean, it's a time where we go through tremendous things and persecution and all these things, and we wonder, where are you, God? And we got to hear from Job by the request of the lector, because I was going to cut it out so we'd be done on time, but I failed, because she wanted to read Job. But isn't that what God is saying to Job? He says, were you here when I created these things? Were you here when I set these things in place? He says, dress up like a man and talk to me. Were you here? We talk about being taken down a notch. That's why, you know, thanks for reading that. I mean, really. He talks about all these things that we might consider from a worldly point of view, failure. And he says, this is what it's like to walk with God. This is what it's like to be faithful, to be in ministry with God, to be an ambassador of Christ. No wonder nobody's signing up for that posting. I mean, really, that's not the way you sell this thing, right? You sell prosperity. You sell, it's all going to be great. It's going to be a fun trip. It's going to be awesome. But that's not the way Paul leads. He's honest. It's always law and gospel thing, right? It's always honest. He tells us right from the start, this is what you're supposed to, this is what you're going to experience. Afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings. Like I said, I'm thankful that this isn't happening, but there could be a time, right? Imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Then he goes on to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. He says, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. Notice what he puts with genuine love. Nobody's answering me. What does he put next to genuine love? Truthful speech. So what accompanies genuine love? Truthful speech. And the power of God and the Holy Spirit and all those other things. But the reason I'm saying that is how many people today, and we're going to be coming up to a judgment by the Supreme Court, and I want you to understand this. How many people today say, if you really love me, you'll keep your opinion to yourself and let me do what I want to do? You've noticed this? You love me, don't tell me the truth. Even worse, there is no such thing as absolute truth. That's the biggest lie that Satan ever convinced anybody. Did you really? Wow. So, understand, not much has changed, right? I used to, my motto or my vision or whatever you want to call it when I was a church consultant was, I wanted to be a first century Christian in the 21st century. And the reason I wanted to be a first century Christian in the 21st century was I didn't think much had changed. I didn't think much had changed. And so it says, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live. Do you not see a schizoid type experience here? Is there going to be people that no matter what you say, interpret it some way, the other way? Are there going to be some people that when you say go right, they go left? I mean, the funniest thing, Gordon was just sharing about this, but the funniest thing that amazes me all the time is why people will accept absolutes when it comes to the simple things. For example, if we really believed in relative truth, if we really believed that there was no such thing as absolute truth, then why can't we just go up to the third floor, walk off the balcony, and not hit the ground? Why can't we pull up to the pump and say, you know, this gas is too expensive, why don't you put water in the tank? I mean, if everything's relative and there is no absolutes. People accept, the problem I have is people will accept absolutes in all kinds of things in their life. And when it comes to the truth of God and morals and other things, they say, well, there is no absolutes. You have a right to your opinion, and they have a right to theirs, and, you know, there's no absolutes. But don't you see, we have absolutes in all parts of our life. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I'm driving on 94 coming home from Chicagoland, which is always an experience. And I'm driving on 94, and this big truck almost hits me. I mean, it was like literally that far from my front. Well, he decides to pull out into my lane and pass another truck. I have to tell you something. I figured there was an absolute there, and he was absolutely wrong. But, you know, we accept absolutes, don't we? I mean, we accept absolutes, and yet when it comes to truth, we don't want absolutes. And that's what St. Paul is kind of saying here. He's saying, no matter what you, to some people you will be an imposter, to other people you'll be true. To other people they'll say you're unknown, and to others you'll be fully known. That's what he's trying to say. He says, you know, you're going to run up against this in your life. And don't we see that coming? And as fathers, I mean, I have so much to learn. Like I said, two generations. I got so much to learn. And my children are trying to make sure that it is an interesting life. So, never boring. And they're making sure I know that I'm a failure at these type of things. But anyways. But it is tough, right? It's tough. We're living in a culture and a time where absolutes are not accepted, where we live in a time where people don't want to hear. They want to hear about religion. They want to hear about what it could do for them. I mean, if we want to put out on the sign, you know, join us as we get afflicted and beaten and imprisoned and suffer and get hungry and all these things, man, we'd have people knocking down the door. That's why we give them pancakes and waffles, because we know, right? So I just want to encourage you as men and women of God, as fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, to know that no matter what you go through, you're in this with God, right? Isn't that what this whole section started at? That's why I don't like the chapter division, because the whole section starts as, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, therefore, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We live in that salvation each and every day. And if we go through these things, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, if we even try and fail to be those ambassadors by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. I mean, do you not see? This is kind of complicated. But my appeal to you as fathers today and as children of God, all of us, is to recognize that God is with us no matter what. Isn't that awesome? That's Paul's message to the Corinthians. He says, I'm opening up my heart wide. I'm telling you that I have endured all these things, that I've been called an apostle when I'm being truthful, that I have been, you know, gone through all kinds of things that just are crazy, two things that shouldn't exist in the same place, honor and dishonor, truth and a lie, being known yet being unknown. I mean, he's saying no matter what you're going through, no matter how confusing it feels, know who you are. You are ambassador for Christ. Know that you are living in a favorable time because God has put us here, not by accident, but on purpose. Right? He's got our back. He knows what time and place he put us into. We're not here by accident. If you believe that, then you might as well believe evolution, and we don't believe that, right? We believe that Jesus put us here because it is we are designed for this time. Sometimes we may question him on this. Question is wisdom. But yet, that's his plan, right? We're here because he has designed it this way. And it's really about surrender, right? But saying, without God, I can do nothing. Without God in it, everything I attempt to do will really, from an eternal perspective, add up to nothing. So his appeal for us is to know we live in a favorable time. We live in a time that is now the day of salvation, that if we were to pass today, we know we're going to be with him forever. But as each day he gives us is a gift, and may we use it to grow. May we use it to see the failures that we've said and said, thank you, Lord, that you give us a fresh start. Thank you, Lord, that each time we confess our sins and are forgiven, we are new creations. Thank you, Lord, that you're in charge and we're not. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what we're going through, and I think that list was pretty, I think he kind of hit most of the things, don't you? No matter what we're going through, no matter how confusing it may be, God is still in control, and he will get us through. That's why the gospel lesson is so important today. I'm going to close with this. This is a great illustration. He's sleeping in the boat, right? On a cushion. And they wake him up and say, Lord, aren't you concerned that we are perishing? And what does he say? Why are you so scared? Still have no faith? And kind of as an afterthought, at least in my opinion, again, you can read different, you know, ways into this because, you know, I wish they would have had digital recordings at the time because then we could really understand this. It's kind of like an afterthought. He says, quiet, be still. I mean, if he really wanted to teach these guys, he just said, give it to us! More! Wouldn't you think? You want to know what it's like to be with God? Then you know that he's the calm within the storm. That old saying, I think it was Beth Moore who said, you know, don't tell others how big, or don't tell others how big the storm is. Tell the storm how big our God is. You hear that before? It's a great saying. Brothers and sisters, we have a God who gives us peace, comfort, his spirit, and watches over us, protects us, even in the midst of the storm. I would like it if every time he would calm the storm, wouldn't you? I'm just here to tell you, if he doesn't, he can still protect you in the midst of it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Wow. And
that's the way I tell my children.
Yep. Still disciples. Well, let's stand as we pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you have given us the privilege of being fathers, of being disciples. Lord, we're going to go through storms. We're going to go through times where we would just like you to say, quiet, be still to the storms and the winds and everything around us. Yet, Lord, your promise to us, as the Apostle Paul says, is open our hearts wide and recognize that we can be honest with you when we're struggling. We can be honest with you when we feel like failures. We can be honest with you when we're struggling and we're going through stuff. And Lord, you still remind us always that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are your ambassadors. You make your appeal to our culture through us. You have chosen us. And we live in that day of salvation. We live in this favorable time because you are present in the midst of your people. The Old Testament people wanted what we have. They wanted to know the power of healing. They wanted to know the power of your presence. They wanted to know that they were yearning for the day that Joel talked about, when the Holy Spirit would be in us. And we live in that time. We live in this favorable time. Lord, help us to be excited about the privilege that we have to serve you in this time. To know that no matter what we do, Lord, as we go through life, no matter how, if we're honored or dishonored or slandered or praised, Lord, no matter what we go through, you are there with us in the midst of the storm, and you can give us the strength to live as your people and to be your disciples no matter what. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.